Corey was staying in a little 10-by-12 room above a whiskey mill. He had used it several times during his visits here and knew he didn't have to worry about the management giving him away to any policeman who had more curiosity than judgment. The room key had long since been lost, but a door key would only lead to overconfidence. Any burglar worth his salt could pick a lock as easily as he could pick his teeth. A pistol beneath the pillow was much more reliable for protection. He climbed the outside stairs and started down the short hall toward his door. Instinct told him to pause. He had left the door closed, but now it was slightly ajar. A thin streak of lamplight showed around its edges. Corey drew his pistol.
Oh, help!
He almost shot his brother Newley.
I like to kill you. What the hell are you doing here?
Oh, for God's sake, put that six gun away.
Corey did. Newley swallowed hard. The color began coming back into his face.
That's the second time lately I come near to getting shot on your account.
You oughtn't to surprise me like this.
I've been hunting you from Fort Griffin to Kingdom Come. This is the third time I've been to Fort Worth. I figured you'd show up here sooner or later.
What do you want with me? I told Ma when I left that I wasn't coming back after she had Lacey kill Alice.
That's one thing I came to tell you. Alice ain't dead.
Not dead?
Lacey got the shakes and picked the wrong target. It was Alice's sister he shot, not Alice.
A sister?
The one called Josie. It was a natural mistake. Ma was awful put out about it, though. She's still bound and determined to get Alice.
Not if I can stop her. And I'll stop her if I have to kill her.
Corey sat down heavily on the edge of the bed.
I'm glad you found me. That's good news about Alice.
It ain't all good. You know, Josie was fixing to marry a farmer named Shannon?
Yeah, I remember some talk.
Shannon thinks you're the one that shot Josie. He's hunting for you with blood in his eyes. He mistook me for you, came within an inch of killing me.
Newley explained about Shannon breaking into the room at Big Beulah's.
Didn't you tell him it wasn't me that shot Josie?
I never got the chance.
You were probably too scared to think about it. If he finds me, I wish he hadn't. There ain't no clodhopper going to get the best of me.
This one might. He used to be a ranger. And he killed Little Lance.
Little Lance?
You know, he always thought he could do anything but walk on water. He thought he could draw and shoot faster than Shannon. But he couldn't.
Newley explained how Shannon had outsmarted and surprised him and Little Lance on the trail.
I saw Shannon once at the Monahan place, so I'll know him on sight. But first I gotta think about Alice. If Ma has her mind set on seeing her dead...
You know Ma. She says it has to be done. If Alice ever testified in court, she could send us all to the penitentiary. Maybe worse.
I'll worry about Shannon later. First thing I'll do is go to the Monahan place and steal Alice away. I'll take her so far that Ma and Lacey will never find her.
I'll help you any way I can.
We'll leave come daylight.
Bessie Bascom always kept a dog or two. They were essentially worthless, except that they alerted anybody within hearing when someone approached the cabin. Right now, Bessie was down to one dog. It barked long and loud until Corey chunked a rock at it. Bessie stepped out of the picket house, a shotgun in her hands. She lowered it when she recognized the arrivals, but her stern face offered no warm greeting for the prodigal son.
I'd about decided you never was coming back.
I hadn't figured on it till Newley told me Alice is still alive.
Only because Lacey ain't been able to get close enough to the Monahan house for a clean shot. She don't let herself be seen. I don't reckon you've worked up spine enough to do the job yourself. Nah, I didn't figure you would.
I came here hoping I might talk you into leaving Alice alone. I'll take her far away to where the law never heard of us.
Sooner or later, she'd get dissatisfied and want to come home. She's like a dagger hanging over this family.
Not if I take her plumb out of the country.
You'll have to kill a bunch of Monahans to get her. And she wouldn't have anything to do with you after that. If she wanted you, she'd have come back here already.
And knowing you intended to kill her, she's not a fool.
Maybe not, but you are. If she ever got on a witness stand, she'd talk like a revival preacher. Whatever me and Lacey done, we done to protect this family.
Shooting the wrong woman and setting a ranger on my trail? The best protection I can think of is distance. Once I get Alice... You won't see any more of me or her.
You ain't got her yet. We don't even know for sure if she's still at the Monahans. Lacey thinks they might have spirited her away someplace.
If so, they can't take her so far that I can't find her.
Then you'd better be sure you find her before me and Lacey do. Otherwise, I thought I'd raised you better than to let a pretty face turn you against your own. Your poor old pa would be mightily ashamed.
My poor old pa never felt ashamed for anything in his life except getting caught. Where is Lacey, anyway?
Bessie jerked her head toward the cabin.
Catching him some rest. He's laid up many a night watching the Monahan place, hoping for another chance at Alice.
You tell him that if he tries again, I'll kill him.
You'd kill your own brother?
Dead as a gutshot mule.
Corey glanced at Newley.
You coming or staying here?
I reckon I'll go along with you.
Are you set for a few more days' ride? I figure on going to the Monahan farm.
Why not? All I've done lately is travel.
Corey and Newley sat on their horses on the edge of the timber and studied the Monahan farm 300 yards away. It looked no different than the last time Corey had seen it. He knew things had changed drastically within the family, however. He could only imagine what a shock Josie's death must have been coming on top of Clemmy's illness. He had developed a grudging liking for the Monahan family, though he knew his elopement with Alice had created a hostility he would never be able to overcome. It would be useless to ride in boldly and assert his claim to his wife, even if he argued that it was the only way to save her. James Monahan would probably shoot him on sight. If he didn't, and Clemmy had recovered enough to hold a gun, she would probably do it. No, the only way would be to slip in there in the dark hours of early morning and rush her away before the family could react. That would be no easy matter. If it were, Lacey would already have sneaked in and killed her. Lacey had a streak of cowardice that limited the risks he was willing to take. Corey told himself he had no such shortcoming. Being brave did not have to include being foolish, however. He would study the situation and plan his move carefully. The time he had worked for the Monahans had made Corey familiar with the layout of the farm, where its buildings stood in relation to one another, where he could hide horses as near as possible, and the route he could take to get into the main house. He remembered the configuration of the rooms and where Alice would be sleeping. This was knowledge Lacey didn't have. It was almost certain that someone would stand watch at night. Corey was confident he could find and take care of the guard. He felt he could get into the house and into Alice's room. The real trick would be getting her out and to the horses, especially if she resisted and put up a holler. The quickest way would be out the window. The Monahans probably wouldn't risk shooting at him for fear of hitting her in the dark.
What if she ain't there? What if they snuck her away like Ma said? You might get in the house, but you're liable to have hell getting out.
I wish there was some way to be sure she's there before I go dancing around a bear trap.
It's a cinch you can't just ride in there and ask them.
A horse left the barn and moved in their general direction. A small boy sat on its back. Corey motioned for Newley to pull a little farther into the trees.
Yonder may be the answer. That's Clemmy's grandson, Billy. He used to saddle his pony for him so he could ride. Him and me got along real good.
Things may be different with him now. He's old enough to know that they don't speak your name anymore without adding a cuss word to it. And if he tells his folks he saw you, they'll figure out what you got in mind.
We'll keep him with us a while. When he doesn't come in for supper, the menfolk will start out hunting for him. That'll make it easier for me to grab Alice and go.
Well, we've been charged with everything else. Kidnapping a kid will be something new.
Not kidnapping. Just borrowing for a little while.
Corey waited until the boy had skirted around the edge of the timber and was out of sight should anybody be looking in his direction from the houses or barn.
You stay back. He doesn't know you. You might scare him.
Corey rode out to intercept the youngster. Billy reined up, surprised.
Howdy, Billy. How's my boy?
Billy said nothing. He lifted the reins as if he were about to turn and run away.
Don't be scared. I'm not fixing to hurt you. Just want to talk. What are you doing out here by yourself?
Looking for a milk cow. She ain't come in for a couple days. Daddy says she's probably had her calf and she's hiding it out.
Well, cows do that.
Everybody's mad at you. They wouldn't want me talking to you.
I know. They think I killed your Aunt Josie. But I didn't. I wasn't even here.
You wasn't?
No. If I'd known it was going to happen, I'd have stopped it. How's your Aunt Alice?
Well, I don't know.
But she's living right there in your grandmother's house. How come you don't know?
Because she's not there. Rusty Shannon took her away. Him and Andy.
Where did they take her, Billy?
Down Rusty's farm, I guess.
Where is his farm?
I never been there. They say it's a long ways. I heard them talk about the Colorado River.
Are you sure they haven't mentioned the name of a town?
Malice has written Granny a couple letters. Postmark had the name of a place called Columbus.
Corey knew in a general way where Columbus was. He also knew that the letter had probably been posted miles from where Alice was staying. That was a logical precaution in case the wrong people saw it. But Columbus was a starting place. It narrowed the search.
Billy, it might be a good idea if you don't tell your folks you talked to me. I wouldn't want you to get a spanking on my account.
I wouldn't want one neither.
And believe me, I didn't kill your aunt.
You were always nice to me. I never wanted to think you'd done what they said you'd done.
You're a good boy. You'll be a good man someday. Now, you go find your cow. And remember, don't tell anybody about me.
The boy went on. Corey watched him a while, glad there was no reason to hold him after all. Newley rode closer.
You just letting him ride off?
There's no point in keeping him. Alice is gone.
I heard some of what he said. Where is this Columbus town?
Down on the Colorado River.
What'll I tell Ma?
Don't tell her a damn thing. I'm going down there and hunt till I find Alice.
And then what?
I'll cross that river when I get there.
Bessie Bascom stepped out onto the porch of her house as Newley rode up.
Where's your brother Corey?
Gone.
I ain't blind, but where'd he go?
Off hunting for Alice. She's not at the Monahan place.
Has he got any notion where she's gone to?
Her son's hangdog manner told her he was holding back.
Didn't tell me nothing. Just rode off.
Which away?
South.
He must have had some notion then. You sure you're telling me all of it?
As much as I can.
Bessie saw her son Lacey walking up from the barn.
Lacey? You've always had a knack for keeping your younger brothers in line. Cora's gone off after that Monahan wench. I think Newley knows where, but he ain't telling. See if you can persuade him.
I done told you all the Corey told me. Ain't no use in his fighting.
There was not much fight to it. Lacey got an arm under Newley's and around the back of his neck.
Enough!
How's your memory now?
He's just trying to save Alice. He knows you and Lacey want to kill her.
Damn right we do. She's bad medicine for all of us, you included, if you had the sense to see it. Now, where's he gone?
He didn't tell me himself, but I heard that little boy of the Monahan say something about a town called Columbus. It's way down on the Colorado River, the other side of Austin. Seems like that ranger Shannon has got a farm down there someplace.
The one that killed little Lance?
That's him.
So Corey figures if he can find Shannon, he can find Alice.
He still loves her, Ma. Says if he finds her, he'll take her a long ways off. She won't be talking to no court nor testifying to nothing.
She sure won't if we can find her. And if Corey can, we can too. You boys catch us some fresh horses to ride, and a pack horse. I'll go rustle up grub for the trip.
I don't want no part of this.
You'll go if I have to whip you like a chicken-stealing hound. I swear I don't know what it'll take to put some manhood into you.
Lacey grabbed Newley by the collar and pushed him toward his horse.
Get going. I expect Corey's got a good start on us. We have a lot of country to cover.
Rusty and Tanner lifted Andy from the improvised stretcher and placed him on a blanket on the ground. Fully conscious, Andy was aware that they had reached the cow camp. His shoulder burned all the way through. He imagined he could still feel the searing of the cauterizing blade.
You feeling all right?
I'm making it fine.
The wagon boss was exuberant over the recovery of the cattle. He counted the horses and accepted the losses with good grace.
You got back more than half of them. I'd already said goodbye to the whole bunch.
Andy was gratified to have Long Red again, but he grieved over the cost. He could only guess what had happened. He didn't want to think about it, but the image refused to leave him. The kid probably had but one thought, to get away, and had ridden blindly into the Indian raiding party. Had he been only 5 or 6 years old, they might have kept him as they once had kept Andy. But he was old enough that they would regard him as a man, a potential warrior against them. They would have made short and bloody work of him. Perhaps everybody had been right, that Scooter was fated to a violent end. If not this way, then some other. But Andy thought he had deserved at least one more chance to compensate for suffering through a life of abuse and deprivation. Rusty had tried to ease Andy's distress.
Been many a boy, even younger, killed for no fault of his own. He brought this on himself.
The wagon boss gave Andy a minute's brief sympathy for his wound before turning to other matters. He spoke to the captain.
Well, the least I can do is make you the loan of a wagon so you can carry your wounded back to camp. And we'll whoop y'all up some dinner so nobody goes away from here hungry. I hope you like beans.
Oh, when men are hungry, a pot of red beans is like ambrosia.
The thought of food made Andy nauseous. He knew he was running some fever. Farley had given Andy little attention since the skirmish. Now he walked up to the blanket where Andy lay and stared down at him with accusing eyes.
We're even now. You ran off the Comanche that wanted my scalp. I toted you out of there before some other heathen could snuff you out. We don't owe one another nothing, do we?
Not a damn thing.
Good. Because the captain needs to know what happened out there.
And what did happen?
This boy had a clean shot at that first Comanche. Wasn't no way he could have missed unless he wanted to. I'm thinking he wanted to. If that Indian hadn't gotten scared off, he'd have killed me deader than hell.
But he shot the next one.
It was his life on the line that time. If he hadn't fired, that arrow might have gone into his heart.
You're making a serious charge. Better think about it twice before you talk to the captain.
I'm telling it the way I saw it.
You saw it the way you wanted to see it. You've carried a grudge against Andy for a long time. Now, if you're looking for a fight...
Rusty, don't. There's no use you and him bloodying one another. The truth is, he's right. I recognize the one that was after Farley. He used to teach me how to pack game. I hoped I could scare him off without killing him.
So you left him alive to raid again.
Killing or not killing one Indian ain't gonna make much difference. There's still plenty more.
The point is that when it came to making a choice, he chose the Comanches over his friends.
You never was his friend. A friend wouldn't carry a story like this to the captain.
Y'all back off. I'll tell the captain myself.
All right. But I want to be there to see that you tell it straight.
Andy doesn't lie.
The captain came around when one of the cowboys brought up the wagon.
Pickard, you and Private Mitchell will ride in this the rest of the way back to the camp. Should be more comfortable than that makeshift stretcher.
Captain, you may want to leave me behind after you hear what I have to say.
That you hesitated about shooting an Indian?
Somebody told you?
No, I guessed. I halfway expected it under the circumstances.
And you still let me come along?
I doubted it would make a life or death difference.
It almost did. Maybe I'd have made the second shot good if Farley's life depended on it. Maybe not. I can't be sure.
You're hurting. You look feverish. This discussion can wait until we get back to camp, and you're better fixed to know your mind.
Quickly, Andy was loaded into the wagon. They stretched him out on a folded blanket. Rusty leaned worriedly over the sideboard.
If the ride gets too rough, be sure to holler. The point of that arrowhead may start working around in your shoulder.
Andy felt it would be fitting if a little of the arrow was still embedded. It would afford a punishment of sorts for his having killed one of those he had considered his own people. It would be his penance. Andy caught the welcome smell of wood smoke and knew the trip was almost over. By any standard, the ranger camp was Spartan, but the line of tents looked like home. Reaching it meant an end to the wagon's jolting, jerking. The cook came out to meet the arriving rangers. Andy saw him pointing with his forefinger, silently counting them one by one, smiling when he saw that none were missing. He turned his attention to Andy and Private Mitchell, the only two other than the wagon driver who did not come in on horseback. Mitchell had taken a bullet in his thigh, but it had passed through without striking a bone.
Well, it looks like you all found the Indians you was looking for.
Tanner rode up.
We whooped up on them pretty good.
Rusty was pretty sure that Tanner would describe the fight in more detail than the cook probably wanted to hear.
You don't have to walk.
Especially the account of Andy killing an Indian.
Lynn, I think I heard the captain call your name.
Tanner left to attend to his horse and find the captain. He was back in a while, a little confused, but no less talkative.
All that shooting must have done something to your hearing, Rusty. Captain wasn't looking for me after all.
By then, the cook had returned to the mess tent and was busy preparing supper. Tanner headed in there to finish his story, but now, at least, Rusty and Andy didn't have to listen to it. The captain came around to check on the wounded.
Captain.
Get some rest, Pickard. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Maybe the next day.
Leave well enough alone. Captain isn't blaming you for anything, and you shouldn't be blaming yourself.
I can't help it. I didn't do right by the Rangers when I pulled my aim off of that first warrior. And I didn't do right by the people when I shot the other one.
You did right by yourself. If you hadn't, you'd be dead. And I wouldn't be standing here trying to pound some sense into you.
When do you figure on going home, Rusty?
I haven't decided. I was kind of enjoying the camp. It took me back to the old days. For a little while, it even made me think maybe I'd like to join up. But that skirmish took me back to a part I never did like. Farm gets to looking pretty good.
Will you take me with you when you go?
Thought you was tired of the farm.
Like you said, that fight has made the farm look pretty good.
You ain't been a ranger long enough to draw your first pay, hardly.
It'd be blood money if I did.
That's the fever talking. Wait a couple of days before you jump off into a ditch you might not be able to climb out of.
The next day, Andy felt like leaving the blanket and walking around the camp a little. The cook waylaid him at the mess tent.
What you need for healing is a lot of meat. Wild meat. Ain't nothing better for you than venison. Let me fry you up a piece of backstrap.
No, you gave me more at breakfast than I could eat.
Oh, that was a while ago. This'll put strength in your legs. Let you run like a deer.
I don't care about running. I just want to get to where I can ride so I can go home.
And what's this about going home? Well, Mr. Tanner been telling me what you done out there. You too good a ranger to be quitting on us now.
Don't take what Len tells you as gospel. If hell has a place for liars, he's due a good scorching.
Now just don't be in no hurry. My old master was bad when it came to making fast judgments. Most generally, they was wrong. Like the time he seen something in the brush moving toward his hog pen. Figured it was a mongrel dog. He went charging in there throwing rocks. Turned out, it was a bear. You ain't never seen a fat old man run so fast. Yeah.
The next day, Andy asked Rusty to saddle Long Red for him. He rode him around the outside of the camp. His shoulder ached a bit, but not as much as he expected. Rusty waited for him at the corral, silently asking with his eyes.
It's not so bad.
You just made a little circle. It's several days' ride back to the farm.
Give me a couple more days. I can do it.
That Indian still weighs heavy on your mind. You think a couple hundred miles will make him go away?
It'll put me where I'll never have to do that again.
By the third day, Andy was convinced he was ready. Rusty followed him to the captain's tent, but remained outside.
You got time to talk to me, Captain?
Your face betrays your decision. You're not a good poker player.
I've decided to resign. I'm going home with Rusty.
I believe you have it in you to become an exceptional ranger. Perhaps even an officer someday. May I suggest an alternative course?
Won't hurt to listen to it.
In view of your wound and the healing time it will require, you are due a leave of absence. Without pay, of course. At the end of that time, if you are still of the same mind, then I will accept your resignation with regret.
Sounds fair to me, sir. I'll write you if I decide not to come back.
Don't push yourself too hard. You may be hurt more than you realize.
If you ever find out just what happened to Scooter, someone sometime might come across the boy's body.
Yeah, it's not likely we'll ever know.
They prepared to leave the ranger camp after breakfast. Rusty made one last attempt to postpone the trip.
A couple more days will make you stronger.
In a couple of days, we'll be closer to home.
Rusty took the pack mule's lead rope. After a mile or so, he could turn the mule loose and trust it to follow the horses.
If that shoulder really gets to hurting, let me know. We'll stop and rest.
I'll holler.
Andy had no thought of doing so, unless the hurting became more than he could handle. He had made strong talk and intended to back it up. By mid-afternoon, he was gritting his teeth in an effort not to give in to the pain. Rusty must have sensed it. He dismounted beside a narrow creek.
We've come 25 miles or so. My bay is commencing to slow down.
Me and Long Red are doing fine.
We've got to consider the stock.
Rusty unsaddled and caught the mule. He lifted the pack of provisions from its back.
Bo gave us enough victuals to get us to Friedrichsburg or maybe Austin. We can swing around and miss the troubles in Masontown.
You know about them?
I didn't get a very warm welcome there. It's a local feud. No point in us getting mixed up in it.
The Rangers are mixed up in it. A little. The captain's been sending men over to try and hold the lid down.
It's a good thing Texas has Rangers again.
It is. but there's no law says I have to be one of them.
At the easy pace Rusty set, they were more than a week in getting back to the farm. At a glance, Andy knew someone had been taking care of the place in Rusty's absence. Tom Blessing and his sons, he guessed, and perhaps old Shanty. The corn was near shoulder high. In the garden, cut and shriveled weeds showed the mark of a hoe.
Maybe your shoulder will be a lot better by the time the garden needs much work again.
It feels better this morning, just by us getting here. I don't aim to lay around doing nothing.
I don't want you taking on very much for a while. You might ruin that shoulder. I'd have a cripple on my hands from now on.
The place won't be the same without Len Tanner coming around every so often.
Ranger or not, he'll find a way. You go in and get a fire started so we can fix dinner. I'll unsaddle the horse and unpack the mule.
Tom Blessing came by in the early afternoon. He met Rusty and Andy out on the front porch.
Saw smoke from your chimney, but I couldn't be sure if it was you or some passing stranger stopped to fix him a meal. Glad to see you home. Thought you'd join the Rangers, Andy.
Tom noticed Andy's bandaged shoulder.
What did you get in the way of?
A Comanche arrow. Andy hasn't made up his mind if he wants to be a Ranger anymore. How's Mrs. Blessing?
That Alice girl has been like a tonic to her. She's starting to act like she's 30 again. Well, 40 anyway. I'm glad you made it home. We gotta do something about Alice.
Something happened to her?
Not yet, but she's awful homesick. Wants to go see her mother. Every time I leave the house, I worry that she might not be there when I get back.
You think she'd go all by herself?
I wouldn't be surprised. She's got nerve.
Nerve runs in the Monahan family. But she can't take care of herself against the likes of Corey Bascom. He already tried once to kill her. He might get it done the next time.
I wish you'd go talk to her. My wife tends to take Alice's side. Neither one of them seems to realize the danger she'd put herself in, striking out alone.
I'll ride over there with you.
You'll have to go by yourself. I'm on my way to town. Got to be in court for a couple of days.
I'll try to talk her into staying a while longer.
Staying may not be a good idea either. I heard a fellow was in town, asking how to find your farm.
Corey Bascom?
Might be. The description fits what you told me.
Maybe I won't have to hunt him anymore. Maybe he'll come hunting me.
The only reason he'd be looking for you would be to locate Alice. If he can find out where you are, it's only a matter of time till he learns where Alice is. We need to move that girl to a safer place.
I could bring her here. And when he comes for her, I'll have him.
Use that girl for bait? That's not like you, Rusty. What if something went wrong?
You're right. It was a fool notion that just popped into my head.
The reason you brought her to my place was so her husband couldn't find her. Now I'm afraid he's fixing to. She's been wanting to go home. And I'd say that's the best place for her, amongst her own folks. They can protect her better than I can.
You snuck her away from home in the dead of night. You could do the same thing again.
Looks like that's what I've got to do. Think you can take care of yourself till I get back?
You're talking to a ranger. Used to be ranger, anyway. Go and do what has to be done.
Rusty had just finished unpacking the mule. Now he packed again with provisions for several days' ride to the Monahan farm. Andy helped where he could, though he had but one hand to work with.
There's liable to be gossip. You and Alice going all the way up there by yourselves. It'll take several days and nights.
Well, I've got no interest in Alice, not in that way. I'm just trying to save her life.
And maybe playing hell with her reputation.
Reputation doesn't plow a field or put money in the bank. And gossip doesn't draw blood. Everybody knows it was Josie I wanted. Alice is too young for me.
Not that much younger than Josie was. Looks a lot like her, too. All three of them Monahan girls favored one another.
Rusty felt a rising irritation. In an oblique way, Andy was reminding him that he had lost Geneva, then had first been attracted to Josie because she resembled her older sister. True, Alice looked a bit like Josie, but that was different. Besides, she was married, or would be, until justice overtook Corey Bascom. It wasn't in Rusty to trifle with a married woman, even if she did remind him a little of Josie and Geneva. Riding toward Tom's place, Rusty considered the long trip ahead. He didn't expect pursuit if they got away in the dark of the moon. They would strike out across country instead of following the usual trails, so interception would be unlikely, even if Corey outguessed them. He had an uneasy feeling that he was being followed. Looking back, he saw no one. After a time, he came to a dry creek bed and took advantage of its cover to double back on his trail. Still, he saw no one. He decided Tom's report had cut the reins on his imagination. Alice stood on the dog run, watching his approach. For a moment, the sight of her was unnerving. He could easily have mistaken her for Josie. Andy's words came back to him. By the time Rusty reached the double cabin, Mrs. Blessing stood at Alice's side. She looked stronger than he had seen her in the past year. Rusty took off his hat and spoke first to Mrs. Blessing because she was the oldest and due the deference. Then he spoke to Alice.
I was talking to Tom. He said you're itching to go home.
Don't try to talk me out of it. I've been away too long.
You hear anything from your mother?
Her letters say she's a lot better. Walking on her own, doing most of the things she wants to. But she still needs my help.
I hate to lose Alice, but she's right. It's time you took her home. She'll be a godsend to her mother like she's been to me.
Somebody's been asking questions about my farm. Tom thinks it was probably Corey.
All the more reason I ought to go home.
That's what I brought the pack mule for. Soon as it's good and dark, we'll leave. You'd best pack whatever you want to take.
Oh, home. The prettiest word I know.
I'll miss you. But it's for the best if you're in danger here.
The two women cooked supper, the best meal Rusty had eaten since the hotel in Fredericksburg. Afterward, he stood on the dog run or walked around the outside of the cabin, looking for anyone who might be out there watching. Dusk seemed to last for hours. He tingled with anxiety to be on his way. At last, when he thought it was dark enough, he went out to the barn and packed the mule, then saddled the two horses. He was about to lead them from the corral when the mule poked its long ears forward. Rusty turned quickly, but not quickly enough. He caught a glimpse of a dark figure just before a gun barrel came down on his head.
I always found that the best way to win a fight is to get in the first lick. That one was for little Lance. Try to get up and I'll hit you again. That one will be for me.
Rusty felt paralyzed, unable to move. He knew this was Corey Bascom. He wanted to shout to Alice to stay away, but he couldn't summon voice.
I'm ready, Rusty.
Rusty ain't ready, but I am.
Corey grabbed her and clapped a hand over her mouth.
Don't holler. I wouldn't want somebody else to come out here and get hurt.
Corey! What are you fixing to do?
Same as he was, getting you away from here before Ma and Lacey find you. I know they're looking, because I felt their breath on the back of my neck.
What makes you think I'd go with you?
Because I ain't giving you any choice. Listen, woman, I'm trying to keep you from being killed.
Like you killed Josie?
I didn't kill Josie. That's the God's truth. Lacey done it. He thought she was you. Next time, he may not miss.
I'm inclined to believe you. But Rusty was fixing to take me back to my people.
And that's too close to my people. I'm taking you someplace where they'll never find you.
Rusty reached for the corral fence, trying to pull himself up. Corey raised the pistol. Alice caught his arm.
No, Corey, don't, please. He was just trying to help me.
From now on, that's my job. You're still my wife. What's this man to you, anyway?
A family friend, that's all. Josie and him was planning on getting married.
There ain't nothing going on between the two of you?
Of course not. But please, don't hurt him anymore. He's already been hurt way too much.
I won't hurt him if you get on that horse and behave yourself. We're leaving here.
Corey threw Rusty's pistol over the fence. He unsaddled Rusty's horse and ran it off. He remounted his own horse and grabbed the reins of Alice's.
I don't know what all is packed on that mule, but it'll come in handy on the trip. Let's go.
As the two rode by the cabin, Mrs. Blessing stood on the dog run, a silhouette against the lamplight from the kitchen.
Alice? I thought you all were headed north.
Don't answer.
Rusty's hurt. Out at the barn. Go and help him.
And who's that you're with?
Alice tried to answer, but Corey gave her horse's reins a rough jerk. She swallowed the words. Though the rising moon was little more than a sliver and yielded faint light, she knew they were traveling south. She kept looking back in the darkness, half hoping Rusty was coming, yet afraid of what might happen if he was. She believed what Corey had said about Lacey having killed Josie. Though Corey was capable of violence, she had found it difficult to believe he could have shot her sister. Lacey, on the other hand...
Ain't you gonna say something?
There's nothing to say. You've said it all.
You might cry a little then, so I know you're still breathing.
I got over crying a long time ago, after Josie died.
I told you, I'd nothing to do with that. I came near killing Lacey for what he done. I never intended for you to be hurt, nor none of your family. Damn it, Alice. I love you.
Is this the way you show it? By kidnapping me?
I'm not kidnapping you. You're my wife. I'm taking you where you'll be safe.
And where's that?
Mexico. I figure we can lose ourselves down there. Nobody will find us.
What can we do in Mexico? I'd never feel at home there. I don't even speak any Spanish. Do you?
A few cuss words is all.
I don't want to go to Mexico. I want to go home. I want to see my mother walking again. I want to see her moving and talking natural.
What happened to Josie was awful. I don't want it happening to you.
It won't. My family would see that.
What about me? Chances are your brother James would kill me. Or try to. Maybe you'd like to see me dead.
No, I wouldn't. But I believe I could handle James.
Think you can handle your mother, too? Clemmy's got from pure rawhide.
I'd tell them you're still my husband, that I still love you.
Do you? Or are you just saying that to get what you want?
I did love you once. Lord knows I don't want to, but maybe I still do. A little. I don't know.
There's a way to find out.
Corey reined his horse in beside hers. He drew her up against him and kissed her.
Oh.
She felt an unexpected flush of warmth. She found herself responding with an eagerness for which she had not been prepared.
See? It's still there.
Well, maybe a little bit.
I never got over you, Alice. Seems like you never got over me either, even if you thought so. We'll make us a good life together. You'll see.
But I still want to go home. At least long enough to see for myself that Mama's all right. Take me there. And then I'll go with you wherever you want. Colorado, California, any place.
Is that a promise? You're not just saying it to stall for time till you can get away from me?
Us Monahans were taught never to lie.
All right. You know the risk. But if you're willing to take it, so am I.
I don't understand why your mother is so bent on seeing me dead. If I intended to tell what I know about the Bascoms, I'd have done it a long time ago.
That's what she was fearful of at first. I have a feeling it's gone way past that now. Us three sons are all she's got left in the world. She sees you taking me away from her. She's jealous. And she's afraid.
And maybe a little bit crazy.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, Oregon is way out of her reach. And they tell me it's pretty country.
Just one more thing. I don't want to spend the rest of my life dodging the law with you. Are you through with robbing stores and banks and such?
Never was good at it in the first place. There's other things I can do. I'm pretty good with horses. I can do carpentry. And I'm a damn good blacksmith. I could even farm if I had to. I'll make us a living and do it honest. I swear.
Home is that way.
You know what we might run into.
Corey reached into his pocket and withdrew a small derringer.
Picked this up in Fort Worth a while back. Worst come to worst, you might need it.
Looks like a toy.
It's not. It can kill you if you put the bullet in the right place.
Alice had never been far south of Rusty's farm. The darkness offered no landmarks anyway. She trusted that if they rode north long enough, they would come upon familiar ground. As she rode, she puzzled over her contradictory emotions. She had believed any affection she once felt for Corey was gone, killed by his mother's cruelty and his own rough nature. But at least a remnant of it had survived, rekindled now by his presence. She found herself wanting him to take her in his arms and kiss her again. The thought made her ashamed, yet she took a guilty pleasure in it. How could she hope to understand people like Corey and the whole Haywire Bascom family if she didn't even understand herself? A glow in the east told her it would soon be daylight. Maybe now she could see a farmhouse and get some idea of where she was. She watched for chimney smoke. It was time for farmers and their families to be up and making breakfast, but she saw no smoke. As the sun broke over the horizon and spilled early light across the land, she saw two horsemen. Corey saw them too.
Damn. I hope that ain't Ma and Lacey. Keep behind me.
The riders' faces were in shadow, so she didn't recognize Rusty and Andy until they were within 50 yards. Rusty was hatless, a white bandage around his head.
Don't shoot! They're friends!
Not my friends.
Corey brought the weapon up and drew back the hammer. Rusty was quick to recognize Alice and Corey. He drew his pistol before he reached them.
Careful. He's packing as much artillery as you are.
Move aside, Alice. It's time for Corey to pay the preacher.
You're wrong about him. He didn't kill Josie.
You don't owe him nothing. I said move aside.
Andy had watched and listened, his mouth wide open. Now he pulled in front of Rusty and grabbed the hand that held the pistol.
Hold on, Rusty. Hear her out.
What's there to hear? He's lied to her and he got her to believe it.
It wasn't Corey. He wasn't even there. It was his brother Lacey. He thought Josie was me.
Rusty did not want to believe. He had carried his hatred for Corey too long to turn loose of it easily. He jerked his hand free of Andy's grip. Corey dropped his pistol and grabbed his right arm. Rusty saw that in his haste, he had hardly more than scratched Corey. He leveled the pistol again. Andy grabbed Rusty's hand and gave it a twist, the muzzle pointed downward.
Pull that trigger and you'll kill your horse.
Turn me loose! Corey's got it coming.
By law, I'm still a ranger, Rusty. I didn't resign. I just took a leave. I'm arresting Corey, and if you don't cool down, I'll have to arrest you too.
Rusty glared at him, but found that Andy stared back with eyes that reminded him of a Comanche about to kill.
Corey's my prisoner. He's got my protection.
Slowly, Rusty relaxed his grip on the pistol. Andy wrested it from his fingers and stuck it in his waistband.
Maybe she's right, Rusty. Maybe Corey didn't kill Josie. And again, maybe he did, but it's up to the law to sort it all out. You were a ranger long enough to know that.
First time you ever laid a hand on me, Andy.
I honored to have had to. You just lost your head for a minute. Once you've cooled off, you'll see that I'm right.
Corey's bleeding!
Rusty's bullet had cut a gash along Corey's forearm.
See what you can do for him.
Alice ripped off Corey's sleeve, already torn by the bullet. She wrapped it around the wound.
That'll hold till we get to Rusty's cabin. Then we can fix it proper.
Rusty wrestled with his emotions. He looked in Alice's anxious face and saw Josie. He had faced the man he had searched for. Then he had missed a chance to kill him. He felt uncertain and deeply frustrated.
I've ridden 1,000 miles trying to find him. Now you're telling me I ought to have been hunting for somebody else all the time?
I'm sorry, Rusty. We were all wrong about Corey. He's been trying to help me in his own left-handed way.
Rusty turned aside. He didn't want her to see the turmoil he was going through.
Alice, how come you all to be heading back this way? Rusty came by and asked me to help him cut your trail. He figured Corey was taking you to Mexico.
Well, that was his intention. I talked him out of it. I told him if he'd take me home first, I'd go with him anywhere he wanted.
You'd go with him willingly? Surely you don't still love him.
I didn't think so. I thought I was over him. I guess I didn't know my own feelings.
They're wasted on him. Even if he didn't kill Josie, they could put him away for life for what he has done. He's wanted for robbing a bank over at Brownwood. Lord knows what else.
I'm leaking my life's blood. If y'all stay here talking all day, I won't live long enough to see the jailhouse.
It'd serve him right to just leave him afoot and let him die in his own slow time.
You know we can't do that. Even an outlaw has got certain rights.
Just so as he doesn't get away. If he does, I'll kill him for sure the next time.
Rusty rode in silence, nursing his doubts, fighting confusion. His stomach was uneasy. His head still ached from the blow Corey had struck last night. He only half listened to Andy throwing questions at Alice.
What you going to do about being married to Corey? The preachers say, for better or worse, richer or poorer, but they don't say what you do if your man goes to jail.
I guess that's part of the worse.
A lawyer could get you a divorce.
I don't think a Monahan has ever been divorced. Not as far back as anybody knows. It'd raise a scandal from here to Georgia.
Rusty saw his farm looming up ahead. He glanced at Corey, who had both hands clasped around the horn. He had paled from shock and loss of blood.
We're almost there, Corey.
He wouldn't be if I was a better shot.
They stopped in front of the cabin. Andy dismounted and moved to help Alice down from the saddle. Then Corey. Rusty took his time. He didn't offer assistance.
We'll find some clean cloth and bandage him right.
Do what you want to. He's your prisoner.
I'll help you with him, Andy.
Alice started to move, then halted abruptly. Rusty saw shock in her face. Two men and a woman stepped out of the kitchen and blocked the way onto the dog run. Bessie Bascom held her double-barreled shotgun. Lacey and Newley stood on either side of her.
Well, look who showed up. You people are the devil to find. Now y'all drop your guns on the ground.
Rusty had no weapon to drop. Facing the business end of those two barrels, Andy reluctantly placed his own pistol on the ground, along with the others he carried, which belonged to Rusty and Corey.
What's the matter with my boy?
He's been shot.
Bessie shifted the shotgun's muzzle toward Rusty.
Who done it? Him?
The old woman stepped toward her son and reached out to touch the bandage. Most of the blood had dried, but little was fresh enough to shine in the early morning sun. It stuck to her palm and fingers. She looked at her hand with revulsion and shifted her gaze back to Alice.
That comes from having truck with such as you. I told him you were a Jonah from the start. You ain't putting a spell on any more sons of mine.
Corey stepped in front of Alice.
No, Ma. I ain't letting you.
Get out of the way, boy!
Before you can kill her, you'll have to kill me.
I'd kill anybody to protect what's left of this family.
Not your own son.
You've betrayed the family, just like your Pa done. I killed him. I could kill you.
It was the state police that killed Pa.
They shot him. But I was the one who told him where he'd be.
You? Why?
I always kept this from you boys. He was fixing to desert the family and run off with a saloon trollop. Now you're trying to run off with this piece of baggage.
She's my wife, and I love her. Killing Alice would just make bad things worse. There's witnesses here, and one of them is a ranger.
There won't be no witnesses when we leave.
Bessie laid the shotgun barrel against Corey's good arm and attempted to shove him aside with it.
Damn you, boy! I said move out of the way!
Corey tried to wrest the weapon from her, but lacked the strength. He gave it a hard push instead, striking her chin with the barrel. In attempting to regain her balance, Bessie let the shotgun tip down.
Corey!
Bessie turned her fury back upon Alice.
You miserable Jezebel!
Alice raised the tiny derringer.
I kept telling him!
Blood trickled from the corner of Bessie's mouth.
Ma!
Rusty grabbed up his pistol from the ground. Lacey reached for the weapon at his hip.
That's for Josie.
Newley went to his knees.
Don't kill me, please don't!
Don't shoot him. He's harmless.
Rusty felt his finger tightening again on the trigger. He had to stop himself from following through as Andy moved in front of him.
Maybe you know him, Alice, but we don't.
Andy took Newley's pistol.
I hope you ain't gonna give us any trouble, Bascom. Been killing enough already. More than enough.
Wearily, Rusty seated himself on the ground. He extended his arms across his knees and rested his aching head on them. He felt his stomach churning. He had hoped avenging Josie would give him satisfaction. It had not.
I thought I'd shoot Corey and that'd be the end of it. I didn't figure it would come to all this.
Alice knelt beside Corey. She could do nothing for him.
Looks like he did love you after all.
In his way, I guess he did.
Andy turned to Rusty.
At least it was the old lady that killed him, not you. You don't have to carry Corey on your conscience.
Rusty looked at the still form of Bessie Bascom. He felt he should have some regret about the old woman, but he didn't. His only sympathy went to Alice.
You don't have to report that Alice shot her. Tell him I did. It'll save her some trouble and grief.
Trouble, maybe, but not grief.
Alice held Corey's limp hand.
I never saw anybody so poisoned with hate as she was. She always talked about protecting her family, but she destroyed it herself.
All but one.
Andy nodded toward Newley, who was still on his knees, trembling.
He never was quite like the others. They always drug him along against his will.
What do you think we ought to do with him?
Rusty felt empty. At this point, he didn't care.
Oh, you're the law. You call it.
I don't have a fugitive list with me. If he's wanted for anything, I don't know about it. Stand up, Newley.
Newley arose on wobbly legs.
Get on your horse and see how far you can go before dark. Don't let your shadow fall on this side of the Colorado River ever again.
After a silent final look at his mother and brothers, Newley hurried to the barn where the Bascoms had hidden their horses. Shortly, he rode out of the corral and put his mount into a lope, heading northward.
Does that suit you?
He's got the Bascom taint in his blood. It'll probably get him killed. But it won't be our doing.
I'll have to go tell Tom Blessing about this. I'm still a ranger, but he's the local law.
Rusty raised his head and gave Andy a long study. He didn't look like a boy anymore.
You did good today. It's a pity you've decided to resign.
I never said that. I said I was coming home to heal up and to think about it. I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah. Rusty arose, his legs weak. He walked into the cabin's kitchen and slumped into a chair. He felt wrung out, exhausted. Alice followed him worriedly.
Are you all right?
No. Maybe next week I'll be all right again, or next month. Right now, I just feel used up.
Alice looked at him with sad eyes. It struck him again how much she resembled her older sisters. But she was not them, not Geneva, and not Josie. She was Alice, just as Josie had been Josie, and not Geneva.
Well, at least Josie can rest easy now. I don't know when I will.
Several days' ride brought a nagging ache back into Andy's shoulder, but he had no intention of telling anybody about it. He followed the San Saba River, hoping the cook had been out there with his pole and line. A mess of fresh-fried catfish would make for a tasty supper after all the fat bacon he had eaten on the trail. He saw the tents ahead and was pleased that the ranger camp had not been moved in his absence. If he ever decided to get a place of his own and settle down, he might very well choose such a pleasant spot on this river where tall pecan trees spread their heavy shade along the banks and the water ran clear and cool. It carried him back in memory to some of the better times he had spent with the Comanches. The Comanches had been on his mind a lot lately. Recent reports from the high plains had left him with mixed feelings. It was said the army had defeated them after an almost bloodless encounter in a faraway canyon and had run off their horses. They had no choice but to give up and start a long, sad walk to the reservation. That meant he would probably never be called upon to fight them again. The Rangers could shift their main attention to lawless white men instead of Indians. Yet his sympathy went to the people, like his foster brother steals the ponies, on foot, confined, forced to accept the dubious charity of the federal government. It was too much for a proud race to have to bear. He grieved for them. Len Tanner was on horse guard. He put his mount into a long trot to overtake Andy.
Hey, Button. How's the shoulder?
What shoulder?
You back to stay?
If the captain will have me.
He's been hoping you'd show up. Where'd you leave Rusty?
At home. He's decided being a farmer is more restful than being a ranger.
Well, Rusty ain't getting no younger. Ranger life is for young men like me and you.
Tanner had some gray streaks in his hair, but Andy knew that to mention it would set him off into a longer speech than Andy wanted to hear.
Where are the Morris brothers?
On patrol. We've been having a lot of fun chasing after outlaws over in Kimball County. You'll enjoy it. Did Rusty ever find that feller he was hunting for?
Corey Bascom? Yes. That's over and done with.
And Alice?
Rusty took her back to her folks. She's safe now.
I sort of hoped her and Rusty... Well, it would kind of make up to him for losing Josie like he did.
Who knows? Rusty took a mighty deep wound. A lot worse than what I got in my shoulder. Such things take a long time to heal.
Andy looked toward the row of tents.
I'd better report to the captain. Let him know I'm ready for whatever he wants me to do.
He'll be tickled to see you. Now I gotta get back on patrol. See you in the mess tent.
The captain stood in front of the headquarters tent, watching Andy approach. After dismounting, Andy gave him what passed for a salute in ranger circles. The captain returned the salute in a manner even less military than Andy's.
I've been wondering about you, Pickard. Have you healed up?
Healed enough, sir. Reporting for duty.
I'm glad to have you. I put you back on the pay roster. And Mr. Shannon?
He won't be coming.
That's a pity. But we must all make choices in this life. If you're hungry, go ask Bo to fix something for you.
Andy saw a boy sitting at the mess tent peeling potatoes while the cook watched.
Is that?
Hell yeah. That's Scooter.
I thought the Indians got him.
Yeah, so do we all. But when the boy saw they were about to overtake him, he ran into a cedar break and hid. The Comanches hunted for him. They came so close that he said he could hear him breathing. He laid in the cedar all night, scared to death. But at daylight, they were gone. He wandered around afoot for several days, hungry, dodging rattlesnakes. Finally, some cowboys found him and fed him and brought him to us.
Maybe he learned something.
Oh, that he did. The experience took him to the edge of hell and showed him what death looks like face to face.
turned him completely around. He even says sir now.
I guess I ought to go speak to him. Tell him I've still got my horse.
Good idea. Welcome back, Ranger.
Texas Rangers, Ranger's Trail is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2002, Elmer Kelton. Published by arrangement with Elmer Kelton, care of Sobel Weber Associates, Incorporated. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2010, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Terrence Aselford, David Coyne, Danny Gavigan, Joe Brack, Eric Messner, Tim Getman, Ren Casey, Jonathan Watkins, Drew Copus, Christopher Graybill, Nanette Savard, Michael John Casey, Catherine Aselford, Ken Jackson, Andy Clements, Casey Platt, Scott McCormick, Lily Beacon, Michael Glenn, M.B. Van Dorn, James Lewis, Yasmin Toison, Richard Rowan, Elizabeth Jernigan, Peter Stray, Dylan Lynch, Elizabeth Demery, Tim Carlin, Thomas Penny, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts by the Dead Giveaways. Directed by Terrence Aselford. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Greg Reinfeld. Book adapted for graphic audio by Johann Detweiler. With original music by Johann Detweiler. If you enjoyed Texas Rangers, be sure to look for William W. Johnstone's series, Smoke Jensen the Mountain Man and The Last Gunfighter. Available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, forums, and podcasts. Keep listening for previews of other thrilling titles in Graphic Audio.
You are Amanda Carter.
You are Anver Bajraktari. Do you have the items we discussed?
Come inside.
What's a Greek coin doing here? I thought these artifacts were Nepali. What the hell do you think you're doing?
There has been a change of plan.
I am Sergeant Panteras Kathramados, and you are under arrest for trafficking in illicit antiquities.
Don't take me in yet. I was hired by the Japan Buddhist Federation to figure out why Greek coins are turning up in plunder from a Buddhist shrine in Nepal.
I accept your story. For now. But I shall keep an eye on you, Anya Creed.
It is said that shortly after Gotama's death, one of his disciples decided to exalt the Enlightened One in the heights of the world. The shrine could only be found by a quest. This is your path, Anya Creed. It is the road you must follow to find that which you seek.
We bring you news from our places, comrade. First, a meddling American woman named Anya Creed caused us to lose our last shipment to the Greek police. The good news is that the witch has come to Nepal.
How is it good news that this meddlesome Western woman has come here?
Because she's on the trail of the greatest treasure trove in the Himalayas. All we have to do is follow her, and she'll lead us to unimaginable wealth.
What's up? How much farther?
Not far. Another hour or two.
That may be too long. They're getting close.
Storm clouds ahead. We shall be in it soon.
We have to keep moving!
There it is.
They pulled back. We should check out the cave.
Oh my god.
I cannot let you tell the world of this. I'll die first.
You're right about one thing. You will die.
You have given me a very great deal of trouble, Miss Creed. I am about to shoot you in the belly.
Angel 19, Seeker's Curse. In graphic audio.
Available now in graphic audio.
How far you reckon we are from St. Louis?
I'll be there in another week just about, I'd say.
That arm of yours gonna be good and healed up by then?
It's pretty much healed now. I can use it without any trouble. Just aches a little every now and then.
Well, you best be careful with it. You want to be at full strength when we get there. Killing that bastard Beaumont ain't gonna be easy.
No, but it sure is gonna be satisfying.
Everybody, hunch cover!
Hey, Dugan, don't you reckon it's about time you tell me what we're doing here?
Hear that?
Yeah, what is it?
Steamboat round the bend. What gets here, that's when the shooting starts.
Beaumont! I'm coming for you, Beaumont, you goddamn coward! I'm gonna skin you alive!
The First Mountain Man 16, Preacher's Fire. Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.